Why do you exist? Is there a reason for your life? Does your life have purpose, a real meaning? Now, these aren't new issues. These questions have mystified the greatest thinkers and philosophers throughout time. So is your life more than just a short-lived span on Earth, only a fleeting physical existence? Stay tuned as we help you understand the incredible truth regarding why were you born.
Host Steve Myers and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
From very early in our lives, we all asked questions. Little children never seem to grow tired of asking, why? Parents squirm when kids ask, where did I come from? Later, we all wonder, what will happen when I die? Do I really have a purpose? What's life all about? You see, that's the question of the ages. Why were you born? It's a paradox. Even though we have more knowledge and material possessions than any other time in history, we sense a lack of purpose in life. Our quality of life is generally improved. Life expectancy has increased almost everywhere. Yet humanity is troubled. We are plagued with a sense of aimlessness. Do you find yourself stumbling down a path of uncertainty? Do you have a gnawing hunger to know the meaning of life? One reason for that hunger is a lack of spiritual purpose. To understand the purpose of life, you must go to the Bible. Belief in the Bible gives humanity a roadmap for life. It explains why you were born, how to make life work, and what lies ahead. Now, don't be fooled. Today, most people believe that after they die, their immortal soul continues on. But that's not true. The idea that we have a soul that lives forever is never taught in the Bible. You don't have an immortal soul. We are mortal. Human life is temporary. We are physical beings who can die. In fact, your Bible says that when you die, your consciousness ceases. It doesn't continue in some other form. God's word clearly teaches that you, your soul, is mortal rather than immortal because it's subject to death. So you don't have a soul. You are a soul. Now that may surprise you. May sound startling, but it's plain that immortality is not something we already possess. God alone has immortality. And he says that we must put on immortality by being changed when Jesus Christ returns. Now that begins to give insight why you were born. Notice how God himself explains his purpose for creating mankind in Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." You see, in all God's physical creation, he made only man in the image and likeness of himself. Mankind is unique, and there are important spiritual implications being in the image of God. The Apostle Paul told of those implications as he was inspired to write that God has a plan and an eternal purpose for you and all mankind. 1 Corinthians 15:49 says, "As we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." The book of Hebrews tells us that God is bringing many sons to glory and that we'll all be of the same family. You see, we can receive God's gift of eternal life if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Why were you born? You were created to be changed into spirit as immortal children of God, to become brothers and sisters of Jesus, the firstborn of many brethren. Eternal life in the family of God is God's great purpose. Your incredible potential is to be born as members into God's family, his children, having his own divine nature. It's the whole reason God made mankind. It's why you were born, why we exist. God is in the process of creating that immortal family, and you can have a part in it. We're going to discuss more about this amazing topic of why were you born. Stay with us.
Why were you born? Children may ask. So many think only God knows. Whatever your background, the answer is so spectacular you can't believe it until you prove it for yourself in your free copy of What Is Your Destiny? Call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv to discover a coming reality binding all people into a common destiny so great even the universe cannot contain it. Created with a potential so astonishing, this truth blinded Jesus' generation when he described it. You need to really know what is your potential and a destiny before time began. Go to beyondtoday.tv or call 1-888-886-8632 to grasp what is your destiny.
We have a free booklet offer today. The booklet's titled, What Is Your Destiny? It goes right along with our topic that we've been discussing. We'll help you answer the question, why were you born? Important question, one that's probably come to your mind many times. Now it's time to take that time to answer that question. This booklet will help you do that. Order it. Go to beyondtoday.tv. Get your free copy right now. Now, wondering about the question, what would you ask God if you had the opportunity to ask him a question? In fact, that question was posed in a recent poll. What do you think the number one question people would like to ask God is? Well, that USA Today poll reported that one question would be, what's my purpose here? Even with all our technology and sophistication, we still haven't answered the fundamental question of what's the purpose and value of human life. No one, it seems, has found the answer to life's biggest questions. Yet the answer has been available for centuries. To discuss this today, I've invited United Church of God Pastor Don Henson to join me. Welcome, Don.
Thank you, Steve.
You know, when you begin to talk about the subject of why you were born, what's your destiny? I'm sure one question that comes to many people's minds is, well, can you even understand it to begin with? Can I understand the question? Can I understand why I was born?
I appreciate the opportunity to be here to talk with you about this because it is certainly one of the most exciting and most important topics that we can discuss. Why were we born? What is happening? Why do we exist? Mm-hmm. I also have found that over the years, many people don't even address that question until they come to some point of crisis in their life, maybe where they begin to question why they exist or something happens to cause them to face that question, when in reality, if we have that understanding in mind, it helps us to live our lives much more profitably. You mentioned that with all of our sophistication and with all of our technology, we don't know why we exist. Well, the reason for that is that this is a spiritual question. It's not going to be answered by science. It's not going to be answered by technology. The answer is not going to come from philosophers. It's a spiritual question.
I suppose in some ways all of those things help us to avoid asking the question. When you really get down to it, our technology and all those things take up our time, and we don't bother asking the question.
Good point. We're busy living our life instead of wondering or understanding why we're alive.
But it is possible to understand. That's the point, right? You can understand.
Yes, it is. As I said, it's a spiritual question, and it's answered by God's word, by the Bible, because he is the creator. And if God created this world that we live on and put us on it, then it only makes sense. It's only even logical to understand or to conclude that he has a purpose for it. He has a reason for giving us this existence.
So then no doubt, when we're talking about a spiritual question, we have to go to the spiritual book in order to answer that question. We've got to go to the Bible, right?
We do. And right from the very beginning, that answer is hinted at and then developed all throughout Scripture. At the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve are placed in the Garden of Eden, and there are two trees. And there's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which they partook of, and there's the tree of life. So right from the beginning, there's an indication that God intends to give us life. And had they chosen to eat from the tree of life, then God would have begun at that point to reveal to them what the purpose was that they were created for.
So, in a sense, they had the opportunity to choose eternal life.
That's right.
And so, but they didn't do that. They didn't choose eternal life. And I think that brings up an interesting point. We don't inherently have it, do we?
No, we do not have eternal life. It is something that God is offering to share with us, and that the purpose for this life is to prepare us for the opportunity to receive the gift of eternal life.
Now, because of that phrase, eternal life, it probably brings to mind all kinds of different things to our viewers. Can you focus in on that a little bit? Because I'm sure when you say eternal life, many think of, well, when I die, I go to heaven. Mm. But is that what God's talking about here?
No, many people, as you say, assume that at death they will either they will depart this body and they will go to either their eternal punishment or eternal life, you know, in heaven. But that's not what God promises to us. He promises us that there come a point at a resurrection where we will be changed from mortal to immortal, and from corruptible to incorruptible.
So eternal life, we can't think of it in terms of just a religious-sounding word that must be just easily exchanged for the word heaven, because it doesn't mean that at all. We aren't inherently immortal. We are given that gift from God. And eternal life from God really has the connotation of being a part of His family. Wouldn't that be the case?
All throughout the Bible, God uses that as a way of explaining to us what He wants to share with us. He reveals Himself as our Father, Jesus Christ as our elder brother, the first of the those who will be born into that kingdom, and we are going to be the sons and daughters of God, members of His family. That's what He wants to share with us.
So ultimately, being family, being children, being a part of the family of God, that's really the purpose. That's God's purpose. His ultimate destiny for all of us is that we would choose to become a part of His family. He wants to give us a gift.
Exactly. He speaks of it as an inheritance. We think of an inheritance in the sense that we receive money from our family at some point, some wealth that our family has accumulated for us. God has a whole different kind of inheritance to offer to us.
I suppose thinking of God as a father, He's the father of the family, yes. Our elder brother Jesus Christ, the Father has an inheritance for us. And we can be, what doesn't the Bible put it in terms of co-heirs with Christ?
In Romans chapter 8, it says exactly that we will be joint heirs or co-heirs with Christ.
And so when you think of eternal life in the family of God, the purpose, the destiny, it's all involved. And now that means we've got to have a change, though.
That's right. You mentioned earlier the change from mortal to immortal. And before that change will take place, God expects us to demonstrate to Him that we want to receive that gift of eternal life from Him. We must live in a particular way in order that we will be preparing for that life that God, again, has offered to give to us. That involves a great deal of change, focus, and effort on our part.
Now, that's kind of interesting because a lot of people probably feel that, well, isn't being religious a feeling? Isn't it? Don't I just have to feel religious? Don't I have to take Jesus in my heart and that's all I need to do in order to receive eternal life? Is that it? Or is there more to it than that?
Well, that's a misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. People do, in many cases, believe that all they have to do is just have Him in their heart or have some kind of a personal acceptance of Jesus Christ. But Christianity is a very practical way of living. It involves the way that we behave, the choices we make every day, the actions of our lives. We demonstrate to God that we are ready and we want to receive the gift that He has to offer to us. It is a gift. It is free, but it is something that we must demonstrate to God that we choose to receive from Him.
You know, God has an awesome purpose for us. He has a special destiny in mind for every one of us. He wants us to be a part of His family. There's so much to this subject and the tremendous future that God has planned for each of us. We hope you'll stay tuned. There's more to discuss with our Beyond Today commentators right after this.
Why were you born? Discover a coming reality binding all people into a common destiny so great even the universe cannot contain it. Created with a potential so astonishing, this truth blinded Jesus' generation when He described it. You need to really know what is your potential and a destiny before time began. Go to beyondtoday.tv or call 1-888-886-8632 to grasp what is your destiny. Does God really exist? Scientists now say you can prove it. What's the best way to rear your children for success? Questions need positive answers to the world's greatest issues and your personal ones as well. That's what you'll get when you get your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free subscription. You'll be glad you did.
When you go online to order our free booklet, you'll also receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine. Magazine of Understanding. This magazine will bring all kinds of articles right to your door. Well, you'll be able to understand a whole lot more about your Bible. You'll be able to understand more about events in the world, things that affect your life. We hope you'll go online, order this magazine. It'll help you to understand your Bible and why you were born. In fact, that's our topic for today. Have you ever wondered why you exist? Have you ever suspected there's no purpose at all? Now, if you've ever pondered the questions like these, you're not alone. What does it mean anyway? You know, you can know the answers to those questions. To discuss this today, we have our Beyond Today commentators, Darris McNeely and Gary Petty. Now, Jesus stunned the world of his day when he proclaimed he was the Son of God. They accused him of blasphemy, because you being a man make yourself God, is what they said to him. And yet Jesus answered them in a seemingly somewhat confusing answer. He said, it's not written in your law. I said you are gods. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and scripture can't be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you're blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? Now, that sounds very confusing when you just read that passage. And yet, was Christ saying that actually human beings can become gods?
No, he was not saying that they can become gods in the sense of replacing God or Jesus Christ.
Like they're going to be the Father or they're going to be the Savior.
No, but he was speaking to their potential to become a member of the family of God, to become divine beings, which many, many scriptures, Steve, as you've already touched on several, adequately and fully explained in the Bible. And he was, of course, going up against a great deal of prejudice among the Jews of that time because of their belief in one God and the idea they didn't even believe that Jesus was God, much less the fact that he brought up this concept that really touched on the potential of people to become a part of the family of God. But no, he was not saying that human beings will replace God or become in place of God in any sense. That's a false idea.
Yet in the same time, he's not saying exclusively about himself.
Well, it's very important that we don't look at what Jesus said and think it's the sort of the New Age concept that's out there, that everybody has a divine spark and every person is his or her own God. That's not what he's talking about at all. There is the Creator God, and there is his Son, Jesus the Christ. And when Jesus walked the earth, he always talked to the Father, and he called him his Son. And we see that very intimate, personal relationship. And that's what Jesus is saying. He says, we as human beings can have a personal relationship with our Creator, not as a God that we have no contact with, we can't understand because of his greatness, but that we are like little children coming to a parent. He truly is our Father. We were created in his image, and we have this potential to be his children forever. And that's just a remarkable truth.
Yeah, Gary's really commenting on a popular idea that a lot of people have today. He mentioned New Age, and whether it goes by that topic or concept of New Age or spirituality, a lot of people today feel that they have the spark of the divine already within them. Many of you may feel that, but the Bible does not teach that. To become part of the family of God, to ultimately realize our potential, we have to have God's Spirit put within us. And that involves a process of change and admission and an acknowledgement of God, and really acknowledging that there is a power, divine power, beyond ourselves. No human being has divinity within themselves. Right. So that is a false idea that really a lot of people do believe, but it is not what the Bible teaches.
In some ways, it seems to go along with this idea of immortality already within it. We're not immortal, and we're not divine already. We don't have that spark now. We need those things from God. It's got to come from God. And the interesting concept is one of family, that we have the Father, we have the Son, Jesus Christ, and that we have that potential to be in his family.
Let me read something to you. This is what the Apostle John wrote. He said, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, speaking about Jesus Christ coming back, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So we now have this personal relationship with God as his children. But when Jesus Christ returns, we have the capability of being like him and actually seeing God and interacting with God and interacting with Christ on that level of existence that they live.
And so altogether, we can go right back to the beginning when God said, let's make man in our image. And it seems to all connect just perfectly when you see the purpose.
Yes, you're quoting Genesis 1, verse 27, where God said, let us make man in our image, which is one of the most critical verses to begin a study and an understanding of the Bible and this subject, Steve, of why you were born. Because God right there states his purpose for all of this creation, which is to create man in his image. We are created in God's image. That's that ultimately gives us the potential to become divine beings in his family, like him, as Gary read there in that verse. But it also lifts us above the animal creation. Man is not an animal. Despite the evolutionary theory that teaches that we are all descended from one stock in that sense, human beings are not of the animal realm. We are of the God family. In Genesis 1 and verse 27, if you believe the Bible and if you look at that verse, you have to conclude that we are created in God's image, not the image of some animal.
And the problem is that we may have been created in God's image, but we are very marred images. Mm-hmm. And that's why Peter said we have to become partakers of the divine nature. God has to give us something we don't have, and that is God's Spirit. God takes part of himself and puts it in us, and then we become partakers of the divine nature. But that's only after we repent and turn towards God and realize what our potential is and let God actually do that with us. This concept of creation. We're still in the process of being created. We are being prepared for eternity.
People think that the creation ended on the sixth day in the account in Genesis, and that's all that there is to the story of creation. But when you really understand what was being said there, the creation account goes on, but it's a spiritual creation that God is involved with.
Now, that's an interesting concept, because God said, let us make man in our image. Mm-hmm. And I think we all know, well, he made the animals according to their kind. So you've got cows reproducing cows and horses reproducing horses. Now, a different concept. He said, let's make man in our image. What about this idea of spiritual reproduction? Different term. But isn't God reproducing himself?
He is. He is reproducing himself in his image, as he said. When we see God, ultimately, at the time that the scripture in John becomes a reality, at the time of the resurrection, the change, that Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He talks about the fact that we cannot see the kingdom of God unless we are changed from mortal to immortality. And that's a critical concept to understand. That's the process of being changed, that through a lifetime of change and God's Spirit working with a person to take on that image and that personality and character of God.
And I challenge people just to take the New Testament, go through the New Testament and look at every place where it talks about the children of God, the sons of God, the sons and daughters of God. God is creating children.
It's not a closed system.
That's right.
It's an open system. It's a family system. God's creating a family.
You know, I think people are afraid, Steve, to really embrace this understanding of the Bible. They are perhaps steeped in a lot of religious tradition, mm-hmm. that puts God way off, away from, it's an unattainable goal. Mm-hmm. And yet a very simple, plain reading of the scriptures shows God's purpose and plan is for us to become his children, to become his sons. He is our Father. Christ is our elder brother. And that process of change is a wonderfully liberating understanding that really opens up the Bible, but it also gives us a full dimension of meaning in our life that lifts us beyond and beyond ourselves and out of our normal, ordinary, everyday existence. It's really the reason we were born.
Yeah, I think that makes an important point. Why were you born? That answer that we are to be children of God should do something to us. It has to change us, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, first of all, we have to accept that is our purpose, that you are here because God made you to be his child. Once you accept that purpose, you have to realize that you must change. You have a need to change because you realize that you are a marred image. There's something wrong with your nature and that you must be prepared for eternity. And then you have to be able to follow Jesus Christ as a disciple. And that means you have to imitate his life. Christianity is so much more than accepting Jesus Christ. It's understanding that purpose. It's understanding the need to change. And that is dedicating your life to being a disciple of Jesus Christ.
More than feelings, more than emotions, comes down to acting.
Right. We are talking about the most important question that anyone could ever ask. It is the central question of life. There's a story about Albert Einstein, the man of the 20th century, a brilliant physicist who came up with all kinds of understanding of how the physical universe works. And he was once asked, if you had one question to ask God, what would it be? And his response was, I would ask him why. He said, all the rest is details. All the rest is details. One of the most brilliant men to have ever lived, one would ask God, why? Why did you do it? What's the purpose? Why were we born? All the rest is details.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned we've got to change. We're marred. We've got to grow. We've got to accept these things. But isn't there a key in order for that to happen?
Let me read something that the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans. Romans chapter 8 is one of the most incredible chapters in the entire Bible. And he says here, he says, the Spirit himself, talking about God, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And Paul says, for I consider that the suffering of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There is work. There's a struggle that's involved in this, because the part of us that has rejected God must be removed from us, and this new divine nature put inside of us by imitating Jesus Christ. So yes, the missing ingredient is God's Spirit. He has to take part of himself, couple it with us, and then we begin to become a complete person.
And that means changing. That means the word repentance.
That's
to
right.
Change it from our ways and turn to God ways. That's what we've got to do. We've got to do what God wants for our life. And in fact, it is an awesome purpose. Your incredible potential is to be born as members into God's family, his children, having his own divine nature. God's in the process of creating that immortal family, and your destiny is to have a part in it. We'll be right back.
Why were you born? Discover a coming reality binding all people into a common destiny so great even the universe cannot contain it. Created with a potential so astonishing, this truth blinded Jesus' generation when he described it. You need to really know what is your potential and a destiny before time began. Go to beyondtoday.tv or call 1-888-886-8632 to grasp what is your destiny.
There are so many questions that have challenged mankind. But you can be different. You can have answers. God does have an incredible purpose for your life. You can know why. Your destiny is found in the pages of the Bible. So when you ask, why was I born? You can answer, your purpose is to be God's resurrected immortal children in the family of God. God is creating in his children his own divine nature, his holy and righteous character. That family relationship, becoming children of God, is the heart and core of his incredible plan for all of humanity. Do you realize that you can be a partaker of the divine nature? Your Bible says that you won't just be similar to Jesus, but instead share with him the very nature of the Father. God has an awesome future plan for you, so never underestimate the value of your life. You were born to become one of God's children. You were born to receive his very nature and eventually eternal life. You were born to become an immortal child of God. Thanks for being with us today.
It's been great.
Now, when you want to understand your future, remember our program and look beyond today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.